to be the king.
It's honesty. When he admitted that he was the father.
We all know our leaders. When they do a mistake, how they stand right and says, I did a mistake. We all know it, yes, we see it every day.
Oh, yeah.
We saw it also now, just now, but that's the power of Judah. That's why he's suitable to be a king. Because, you know, I did a mistake, I admit it, and I try to fix it. And that's a quality of a king. Be connected to this world, to understand the simple people that can make mistakes. But teach them all that when you do a mistake, you don't stay with it. You fix it. You admit it and you fix it. That's what we see how Judah is acting. So Joseph has those dreams about being a king. And in the end of the parsha, he's got other dreams of the Sarah Ophim and Sarah Mashkim. The minister of the drinks, of the wine, and the minister of the, how do you call it, the chefs, of the bakery. I would assume it's not only bakery, maybe something more, but never mind, let's call him a baker. The chief of the bakers. And they have dreams also. And it's very interesting. The Rav Yitzchak Bernstein, Zatzal, said it. If we look through the Parsha, we see a very interesting point. When Joseph is telling his dreams to others, he's going up or down? It's going down. He's being sold, he's being thrown to a pit, he's being sold as a slave. But when he starts listening to others' dreams, what's happening? Next Parsha we'll see. He's not only getting out, he is getting to the highest level you can. And the lesson for us is, you see, the Torah is not stories. It's lessons. Teach us the way to look at things. When we tell our dreams to people, we like them to hear our dreams. Yes, I have a dream. And we always talk and talk and talk. But when somebody tells us his dream, do we listen? Not always. So what is the Torah telling us? You're better off listening. Because if you listen, what was going to happen to you? You will raise up. You will go up. But if you tell everybody on your dreams and don't listen to the others, chas v'chalila, you can go down. When Joseph was listening to himself, he went down. When he started listening to others, he went up. And I want to finish this part of the shiur with a few interesting points about the dreams of Sarah Mashkim and Sarah Ophim. They have two dreams. And Joseph gives them a solution. And the question is, can we find in the dream, I think we talked about it in the past, can we find in the dream the solution? How did Joseph get to the conclusion that one guy is going to live and the other guy is going to die? Let's look at the dreams. There's a lot of other things, but as you once said, you want to get also to the other part of the parsha. So we go to the end of the parsha. Okay, let's get to the dreams.
Because with the
butler. We are in.
We have the grapevines.
Perek. Perek.
Tetel
thing. No, Mem. Perek Mem. Perek 40. Yes, Perek 40. Perek Mem. Pasuk 8. Pasuk Chet. So he is in jail, and those two Pharaoh's officers are with him in jail. He is in charge. And one day they wake up and they have a bad face. They had dreams. Vayomru elav, chalom chalamnu. We dreamt a dream. And there is nobody to explain to us what we dreamt. Poter en oto. Vayomer elayim Yosef. Alo ole Elokim pitronim. God's got the solution. Sapunali, tell me. Vayesaper Sarah Mashkim et Chalomo Yosef. So Sarah Mashkim is telling the story. So there is Veine Gefen, and there's the wine. How do you say, call it?
A grapevine.
And it's got three leaves or whatever call it, and it's blooming, and it's coming out the fruit, and then we have the grapes, and I have the glass in my hand, the Pharaoh, and I take the grapes, I make squeeze them and make juice, and I have wine, and I put them in the glass, and I give it to Pharaoh. Vayomer lo Yosef ze pitrono. Very simple, the solution. The three leaves telling us about 3 days. And in 3 days, Pharaoh is going to take you out from here, and he's going to give the job back, and you're going to serve Pharaoh with wine. Very nice. Then we get to... Okay? Okay, then we get to Pasu 16. Vayar Sarofim, and the baker, the minister of the baker, the chief baker, he saw the solution. He liked the solution. I'm very good. In 3 nights, 3 days, he's going back. So maybe I've got the same thing. Vayomer el Yosef, I also in my dream, ve'ineh shlosha salei chorim, there are 3 baskets on my head, and in the last one, there is all the beautiful food that Pharaoh likes. Ma'ase ofe, all croissants and cakes, whatever, all the cakes we like, everything. And a oaf and a bird is eating them from the basket on top of my head. So Joseph says, also very simple. Zepitrono. The 3 baskets are also 3 days. In 3 days' time, Paro will take you out, but the end is not going to be nice. You're not going to get your job back. You're going to be hanged and finished. Mm-hmm. Now the question is, can we see in the dream itself the solution? Yes. How? How?
The produce that they're dealing with, the wine or the food, is one being given to Paro and one's being eaten by birds.
Yes. Okay.
Indication, perhaps.
Yeah. That is going to be eaten. But
for the chamberlain, you have the birds eating it. So apparently that the food is not going to be so-called sanctified for the king.
There is a beautiful story that what you say is all right. It's all right, sir. Yeah, that's the we can see it in the dream, but we'll in a minute understand that it's even better. There was this exhibition, and painters from all over the world brought pictures. And one of the paintings was at the end of the hall, and it was a lady carrying a basket with fruits. And it was so lively that the birds from outside came and tried to eat the fruit. So one of the critics says, everybody was amazed. That's it. It's nothing can be better than this. One of these says, I'm sorry to tell you, with all due respect, it's very good. The picture is very good. But it's not 100%. He says, why? Look at it. The fruits, they look so alive. Even the birds come in. He says, yes. If the figure in the picture would look alive, the birds wouldn't dare to come and eat the fruits from top of the head. In other words, when you dream a dream and a bird is eating on top of your head, so it means that you are dead. You're not there anymore. Okay, now if you have questions, if you haven't got questions, also no problem. But besides, we're going to change our lesson a little and have...
Talk about Hanukkah.
Oh, Hanukkah, we can also talk about Hanukkah a little. Okay, I'll start and talk about Hanukkah, and if in the middle we'll remember a question, you're welcome to ask. We're standing in front of Hanukkah, and one of the interesting things about Hanukkah is that it is not exactly a yontif, and nevertheless, the halacha says that if you want to cease off working the whole day, it's not allowed to. The women stop for half an hour that the candles are being lit. The men can join them, but only for half an hour, not anymore. Why? Because they say, if you don't do anything, what's going to, going to start doing things that are not exactly the right thing to do. What is the idea of Hanukkah? The idea of Hanukkah is we all have holy days during the year. We have Shabbos, we have Yom Tovs, we have Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos. There are those days that we don't work, don't do anything. They are holy days. And we have the simple days. Yemei Chol. The problem is that our job is to understand and realize that also the simple days have a job. In other words, this is, as we said in the past a few times, even more important than what we do in Shabbos. Sounds strange, but why did we come to this world? To sanctify what? What is already sanctified? It's sanctified, I don't need to have sanctified it. So what do I need to sanctify? All the earthly things, everything. In other words, all the yontifs and the Shabbos, they are really a light, or let's say, giving us the fuel in order to have the power to put the holiness into the normal days. That's the job. That's why we're here. And this is Hanukkah. You light the candle in the middle of a normal daily week, a weekday, and this light should go out through the street and light it with spirituality, because that's what it's all about. In Hanukkah, there was not a problem of the body. There was a problem of the spirit, because the Greeks didn't want to kill us. They wanted us to be like them, to convert. In other words, the whole fight is about pure or impure. Being like the Greek or being Jewish. And unfortunately, it had an influence. There were a lot of people, mityavnim, that went with it. Yeah. Why?
That's good.
The same thing happens today. You know, the Greeks, they brought all what we know today. It's from the Greek time. If it shows, it's the Olympiada. It's even still called with Greek names. Yes.
They say also, due to the military victory, which overshadowed the whole day, they came up with the sanctification part of it.
Of course. They had an idea. They also came to the they came to the Jews and they said, you know what? It's written, "Ubeiti beit tfila yikare lekol ha'amim." My house is going to be a prayer place for all nations. He says, let's do it together. In the morning you will sacrifice a lamb, and in the afternoon we'll bring a pig. What's the problem? They say you can combine things.
Nah, it doesn't mix well.
So we all know that that's impossible. But you understand, the Greek, well, they were amazed. They were sure. Everywhere they came, they brought culture, they brought a light. And suddenly they come to this small place, and the people tell them that the light is really what? Darkness. They cannot understand this. Says, we bring you the light. Look at yourself. Look how you look. Waking up in the morning, going to daven, then you have this, and then you're not allowed to do anything on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat this, not allowed to do this. No shows, no sport, no nothing. What? You are ignorant. You are primitives. We bring you the light of the culture. And it looks like it, if you think about it and being, let's say, objective without knowing what it is to be Jewish. Like, look at this world. music, it's culture, paintings, sport, so beautiful things. What's wrong with it? Nothing wrong with it, as long as it's connected to the right place in the right time. And this is the light of Hanukkah. In the middle of the daily work, we light the candles to understand and realize that it's not that we fight the physical things or the all the necessities that we have in life and all the food and sport and music. No, we've got no problem with it. We just want the light of Hanukkah, the light of holiness, to be in it. That's the idea. When I drink, I bless. So I elevate the water. When I go on a holiday, I go to get more power to worship God. When I do sport, I do it to be healthy so I can worship God. You see, the point is, what is the important thing and what is not important? We need money. But what do you do with the money? If you use it in the right way, it's a holy thing. We saw in last parsha, Yaakov is coming back for small things. Went back, and then he had a fight with an angel because of it. Put himself in danger for a few little things that he left behind. But whatever you've got is from whom? From God. In other words, what is your job? To sanctify it. You just take everything you have in life. Your job is to sanctify it. Your job is the same job as God did with us. Took the neshama from up there, which is the spiritual part, and connected it to what? To the body. And that's what this is our job, exactly. To connect the spirit with the earth. And that's the whole idea of Hanukkah. That's why it has to be a normal day.
This woman in the place that I go to said that Hanukkah is related to Sukkot, because when they were fighting, they couldn't make the holiday, and they, when they finally made the holiday, it was, that's why there was also why there were 8 days and why it was connected to Sukkot. They sort of celebrated Hanukkah and Sukkot at the same time.
This also the thing about talking about Hanukkah is Hanukkah Mizbeach, and the temple was being built in Sukkos. But that's it's a lot of ideas about it. But the thing is that when we're talking about the most interesting thing in this is that it's not a holy day; it's just a normal day, and it's 8 days, and a part of it falls on Shabbos. Because 8 days has to fall on Shabbos. In other words, it shows us that one of the question is, why do we celebrate 8 days if the miracle was really
7 days?
Because the first day, they had oil enough for 1 day. So we should really celebrate 7 days, not 8. So why do we celebrate 8? Where do we say Al HaNisim? In the Tefillah. Where do we say it?
In
Shmoneh Esrei? Where in Shmoneh?
Yeah.
Modim. What do we say in Modim? Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. On the miracles that are every day with us. In order to remind us, miracles happen all the time. Not only what we think is a miracle is a miracle. Everything is a miracle. In other words, the first day of Hanukkah is also a miracle. Who told oil to burn? We? God. God could also tell water to burn. In other words, we have to realize that the whole creation is one big miracle. And in order to understand it, again, we go and light candles in a normal day. And we celebrate 8 days and not 7 days, because the first day is also a miracle. Al nisecha shebechol yom imanu. Then we say, al nisecha, al neflaot, al tshuot, al sin of the yom imanu, which is a different story. But the miracles are, that's why, where do you put the candles?
At the window.
Between 30 centimeters to 1 meter. That's the best place to put the candles. Why?
So others could see?
When you walk, what is the first thing you see? Or what height do you see the first? Think about it. When you walk like this, that's what you see. To show you that the miracles are all around us. You don't have to look high. It's right in front of you. But we don't see it. We think it's nature. That's why Hanukkah is in the middle of the week. A normal day. That we put in this normal day the light of holiness to tell us what is our job. That's what we're supposed to do the whole year. That's why the halacha tells you, don't decide that you're going to make Hanukkah a holy day like Shavuos or like Sukkot. No. It has to be a normal day. Then you understand and realize what it's all about. And you do it when you light the candles when everybody's outside, for everybody to see it, to realize. And light is spiritual.
And also there is a halacha that the light need to be in your home. You need to light
Ishu Beito. Ishu Beito, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you can light in other places also. But
you can do whatever you want to, but the mitzvah is being done in your house. Ner Ishu Beito, that's the mitzvah.
And doesn't need to be the owner of the house or the man. Can be the wife, no?
It's supposed
if he's not the at home.
Because the man and the wife are one. That's why if the husband lights candles, the wife doesn't light candles. The children can light candles, but there is no thing about the wife and the man and the husband lighting candles because they are one. Supposed to be one, yes?
Yes.
That's for our job. That's also maybe something that Hanukkah is telling us. So the light of the Greeks in our eyes is really darkness. They couldn't understand this. You have to understand, they could, wherever they came, all over the world, wherever the culture of the Greek culture came, everybody was opening hands and getting it, taking it. Only those crazy Jews told them, that is not light, that is dark. And to end this thing, I once told you a story. There was this guy who used to live in a village, never saw a film in his life. Came to the big town. His friend takes him to see the film. He comes in, he sees people sitting in the dark. And then he sees pictures, figures moving and everything. Oh, what nice there. But he couldn't understand why people are sitting in the dark. So the next day he comes with a big projector, goes in. The minute that it was dark, he opens the projector. He's like, that's where you can see better. But what happened when he opens the projector? All the figures went, there was nothing. And people are shouting him, shut the light! Turn off the light! In other words, life is a movie. And the Greek light is the movie. So some people live in a movie, and when somebody opens the light of holiness, suddenly all those other desires and things are being shown that they are nothing. They got away. But what do we say to this guy who shows us the light? Turn off the light. Ah, we're enjoying life. Let us go on in life. Let us go in enjoying. You know, once somebody asked, why when you go to a pub, if you sit once in a pub, it's dark. Why? You know, I can never stand it. Even today in restaurants, you come to restaurants, you hardly see the food. I don't know, what do you want from me? What's the problem? Why can't it be light? But especially when you go to a pub, people sitting in the darkness and drinking. You know what's going to happen if you open the light in the pub? When you will see how the other looks, drinking and this, you will realize,
what am I doing here?
What am I doing here? This is ugly. That's what That's why what the angel of Esav says when the morning comes, he had to go. He's got no, he cannot be in the daylight. In the daylight, you see who he is. The same way as the guy with the projector. When he showed them, that's nothing. And when you go in the pub and open the light and you see this pub, this ugly place with all those drunkens all around, what do you feel? In the dark, you don't see it. And that's exactly the idea of Hanukkah. Yes.
At the Kollel, Harry brought this up. They were giving a lecture at West Point. And one of the officers listens, and who is somewhat orthodox, and he's listening, and he's talking about the different generals and how they campaigned and how they ran the war. So at the end of the lecture, he walks over to him, he says, what about the Six-Day War? I mean, can we talk about this? He said, we can't talk about the Six-Day War. That was God's war.
But you see, that's our problem. The Goyim have to tell us that's a miracle. Okay. All the best. Bezrat Hashem, have also a Freilich Hanukkah, and we'll look at the light and maybe get some of it for us.